Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. These words of Jesus, recorded in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, were given to his disciples before he ascended back into heaven after his resurrection. It's what we call the Great Commission. Mark records similar words in Mark chapter 16, and John in John chapter 20, and Luke in Luke chapter 24. This morning, friends, on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about baptism in the name of Jesus. What is that? We're going to look at a little bit of background history to the Pentecostal church and their practice of baptism in the name of Jesus. And we're going to compare that with what the scripture teaches. And we're going to look at the subject of baptism in general. And so I hope that our study this morning will be profitable to all. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. I appreciate your interest in spiritual things. We also invite you to come to our services at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. We invite you to visit our website where my lessons are posted there at wbcoc.org. And if you would like to call us at 931-647-1324. The Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, where we speak the truth in love. You are always welcome at one of our services on Sunday morning at 9:30 and 10:30 a.m., 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Baptism in the name of Jesus. What is that, as it is practiced by the Pentecostal church? Well, the Oneness Pentecostals, this would be the United Pentecostal Church, UPC, or the Apostolic Pentecostal Church, APC, they believe that baptism must be performed in Jesus' name. That is, a particular formula must be pronounced, a particular set of words must be pronounced for the baptism in order for that baptism to be valid. So the person doing the baptism in the Pentecostal church, typically one of their ministers, says, "I baptize you in the name of Jesus." And that makes the baptism valid. But if a person hasn't been baptized, quote, in the name of Jesus, end quote, then that baptism is not valid. Is that really what the scripture teaches? We just read Jesus' own words where he said, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We just read that. But does that mean a particular formula that must be said, or does it mean something else? That's what we want to explore this morning on the program. A lot of times, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, along with Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, is used to prove that in the name of Jesus must be said over one during their baptism in order to be valid. So they combine Matthew 28:19 with the words of Peter, if you want to turn with me to Acts chapter 2. And when Peter gets done preaching or gets toward the end of his sermon, he continues on saying some things after these words, but toward the end of his sermon, the crowd was pricked in their heart. They said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "What shall we do?" Verse 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins. So we have baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit in Matthew 28:19 and in Acts 2:38. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins. And so some in the Pentecostal church will misuse those passages to prove some sort of baptismal formula or wording that must be said. And that's what we want to examine today. Now, there is a belief among what is called the oneness Pentecostals. The word oneness means one member of the Godhead. And they believe Jesus is that. Jesus is God the Father. Jesus is God the Son. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a part of today's lesson, but we will not be answering that on the program this morning. We don't have time to go into the fact that there are three separate members of the Godhead, and they are not all Jesus, not just three different names for Jesus. We don't have time to look at that this morning on the program. That's the subject of another lesson, but that's a part of the foundation of today's lesson, that to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is to baptize in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the Father, Jesus is the Son, Jesus is the Holy Spirit. So they're called oneness Pentecostals. And that particular group will use different passages to allegedly prove that Jesus is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They'll turn to Matthew 1:21, dealing with Jesus, John 5:43, dealing with God, and John 14:26, dealing with the Holy Spirit. And they conflate all of those and make them all apply to Jesus. So we won't take time to answer that this morning on the program. That's another subject. We're going to answer what they do with that. They believe that a particular wording must be used when a person is baptized in order for that baptism to be valid. And they actually believe that that doctrine is a latter-day revelation that was given to them in 1914. In their booklet, Think It Not Strange, A History of the Oneness Movement. This was written in 1965. This quote is taken from page 53 through 55, a little booklet. Quote, Jesus instructed us to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In other words, he told us to baptize in the name, singular, that fully reveals God in his redemptive manifestations and work. What is this name? In short, the supreme name that reveals God, the name by which we know the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, is Jesus. By invoking the name of Jesus, then, we fulfill the command of Matthew 28:19. So I baptize you in the name of Jesus, fulfills the command, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In another booklet entitled, Why We Must Baptize in the Name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, there is this quote. The apostles understood that Jesus was the redemptive name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They did not merely repeat those three titles, but they invoked the name to which those titles referred. The other preachers in the New Testament church adhered to the same baptismal formula. There are no contradictions in the Word of God. The New Testament teaches that we must be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The New Testament teaches that we must be baptized in the name of Jesus. And that name we are to invoke at baptism is Jesus. So, there are several things there that could be discussed. First of all, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are not titles. And there are other things that need to be addressed, like we talked about before. Those are actually three separate persons. and that can be easily made clear, even in the Gospels with Jesus, for example, at his baptism. He hears his Father speaking to him, and then the Holy Ghost descends as a dove. These are not the same persons. When the Son, Jesus, is crying out to his Father on the cross, he's not crying out to himself. So there are different ways that that can be answered, but we're going to focus in on this matter of baptism. When a person is baptized, does the person doing the baptism have to say, "I baptize you in the name of Jesus"? That's what the Oneness Pentecostals are claiming, and they say that that was a Latter-day revelation given to them in 1914. Well, if it was already taught in Scripture, why does it have to be given as a Latter-day revelation in 1914 if it's already there in Scripture, and if it's clear in Scripture? Why reveal that in 1914, and why reveal that just to them? So, obviously, there's a problem with that, but we want to answer this question regarding a particular wording or formula. The first thing, before we get into some of the details of this, would be just simply to look at this from a big perspective, and I ask a couple of things. First of all, there are several cases in the New Testament where nothing is said at all. If saying in the name of Jesus, those five words, if that's important and the order has to be right and the wording has to be right, why is it that in several cases nothing is said at all? We find that there are statements in Scripture where individuals are told that they are baptized, and nothing is said at all. So we need to consider that in Acts chapter 8 with regard to the Samaritans, with regard to Cornelius and his household, Acts chapter 10, verse 47, with regard to Saul of Tarsus, Acts 9, 18, Lydia and her household and the jailer, Acts 16, 15, Acts 16, 33. It just says they were baptized. And the second thing that I would notice is that in the book of Acts, even when this wording comes up, and we're going to learn what it means to be baptized in the name of Jesus, we're going to talk about that. But even when that wording is found in the text, it's not the wording of someone who is saying that as a person is baptizing the other person. It is teaching that is being mentioned. For example, in Peter, Peter is not saying those words each time he or somebody baptizes the 3,000 there on the day of Pentecost. They asked what they must do. He told them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He told them to do that. That's not the wording he's saying as he is about to put them down into the water. And number three, in the book of Acts, there are at least two different ways in which that statement is formed. In Acts 2:38 and Acts 10:48, it's in the name of Jesus Christ. But in Acts 16 and Acts 19:5, it is into the name of the Lord Jesus. So those are two different sets of words. And which is it? And the Oneness Pentecostals have trouble answering that. And they say, well, you just need to put all of those things together. Well, do you say the word in and into? I baptize you in and into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, They don't have a sentence that has in and into in it. So they don't add it all together and add all the words up together and come up with a particular formula. They know that it's different in the Word of God. And they ignore that. They pick their wording that they want, but there's different wording even in the book of Acts. So we've got to remember that very kind of thing. Acts 8:16, for as yet it was fallen upon none of them, only they had been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So that's different from Acts 2:38. But they had been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. It's describing the action of what went on, not the words that were said when the person was being put down into the water. Those are two different things. There is no formula. There is an action of what is being done. There is no formula of what is being said. And even in the action that is being done, it is worded at least in two different ways in the book of Acts. Number two, it is what a person is stating that others are to do. It's not what he's saying as he's putting them down into the water. And number three, there are places where it's just mentioned that individuals are being baptized with nothing said at all. So just that in a general way should give us some pause as to demanding a particular formula that must be said in order for that baptism to be valid. Now, let's look at the particular expression then. Baptizing or baptize in or into. Let's talk about that now for just a little bit. In the New Testament, baptize is used with three different Greek prepositions. A preposition meaning a word that leads into a statement of what is being done. And those three prepositions are, in the Greek, epi, translated in, I-N, and it means on or over, on the basis of a thing considered. Ace, translated into in the English, I-N-T-O, meaning motion toward a certain thing. And then the Greek preposition in, E-N, translated in, I-N. This is the sphere or the medium of a thing, like being in a room. You're inside the room. So epi, ace, and in, E-N. These are three prepositions that baptize is used in the New Testament with. So let's look at it. First of all, we have this preposition, ace. Let's take that one first. We could take either one of the three, it doesn't matter. But let's start with ace. The Greek ace is used in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. I quoted that at the beginning of today's lesson, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ace, into. When a person is baptized, that's not a wording. Jesus didn't say this is the wording that is to be said. He's talking about an action that is to be done. Baptism places one into a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This ace is literally into or unto. It's motion toward. And so baptism, when a person is immersed in water, it puts them into or toward a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We also find this ace in Acts 8:16, 19, 3 and 5, Romans 6:3, 1 Corinthians 1:13, 15, Galatians 3:27. Baptized into Christ. This is a relationship, friends. It's not a formula of wording that is said. When I baptize someone in a baptistry or some body of water, right before I do that, I speak to the audience that is there. People are to make a confession before others. And I say that I am going to baptize this one into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I am about to baptize them into that relationship. When you're baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, you're being baptized into a relationship with God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. You are in a right relationship with them. They are accepting of you now that your sins are washed away. You are in fellowship with them. You're in a righteous relationship with them. Okay? That's what it is. It's not wording that must be said in order to validate that baptism. It's telling where the person is about to go. He's about to move toward a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not a formula that is said. And if you don't say it right, it's invalid. So that's the Greek preposition eis. Let's take the second one, the Greek preposition epi, meaning upon, over, on the basis of a thing that is done. This is the preposition used in Acts 2:38, baptized in the name. Its baptism is on the basis of who Jesus Christ is. If you look at the sermon in Acts chapter 2, Peter had just been talking about that Jesus was raised from the dead and God had made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Jesus is not just an ordinary man. He's Lord and Christ. And based upon who he is, you can repent and be baptized upon the basis of who Jesus is. I just told you who he is, Peter says. He is Jesus the Christ. Based upon that, you be baptized and you will receive the remission of your sins. So, number one, baptism places us into a relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a relationship where sin has been removed. Number two, it's on the basis, the authority of it, the validity of it, the actuality of it is based upon who Jesus Christ is because he ordered it. In Matthew 28, Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark's version of that. Or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus authorized that. And nobody needs to do it if he's just an ordinary man. But if he's Jesus Christ, if he's Lord and Christ, what he says is authoritative. And we need to be doing that. We need to be baptized because of Jesus' authority. We would say, with regard to law enforcement today, stop in the name of the law. Stop in the name of the law. A officer used to say that. I don't know if they say that much anymore. Stop in the name of the law if a criminal is running away. In the name of the law. That's not a formula that being said. It's not a specific name, law. It is a statement, stop on the basis of who I am. I am law enforcement. I am a duly sworn and appointed and authorized law enforcement agent, and you need to stop on the basis of who I am. So in the name of, in that sense, is the same as what we find in the scripture. And then in the third case, we have the Greek in, E-N, not I-N, but E-N. This is used in Acts 10:48, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Baptism is done by means of the authority of Jesus Christ. This is in the sense of in the sphere of, or the medium, or the sphere of which a thing is done. It's all done by means of the authority of Jesus Christ. And I was just mentioning that. So it's very similar to epi, which is on the basis of who Jesus Christ is. And now we have baptism in, E-N, in the name of Jesus Christ, by means of the authority of Jesus Christ. So Matthew 28:19 and Acts 2:38 and other baptism passages simply do not contain a baptismal formula of words to be pronounced right before a person goes down into the water. That's not what's going on here. It is statements of what is being done, not of what is being said. And name in the New Testament, this also will help us, often stands for a person's proper name, Jesus, Matthew 1:21. All that a person represents, their character, their reputation, Proverbs 22:1. But often power and authority, Colossians 3:17, a host of other passages. So what are we talking about here when we say name? Simply saying the name, quote, Jesus, does not provide one with authority. Some had tried to cast out demons in the name of Jesus in Acts 19:13-16, and they couldn't do it. So just simply saying a name does not do anything. The act of baptism requires some things. A believer, water, immersion. It is for the remission of sins. It does not require a particular place, a particular time, a particular baptizer, and a particular formula that is said. Baptism in the name of Jesus, it's not what we're saying, it's what we're doing. One may orally state what he is doing in baptism, and I do that when I baptize. I'm going to baptize you into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I say that. I state orally what I'm about to do. But there's no specific formula wording to be said. And there's a difference. In each case of conversion in the book of Acts, the hearer is told what to do, but the preacher is not told what to say. Acts tells us what is done, not what is said. So friends, we need to focus on what the New Testament teaches, and that is you need to be a believer, there needs to be water, it's immersion all the way under the water, and it's for the remission of sins. Those are the requirements of baptism laid down in the New Testament, not a formula that is said. And if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, let us help you to do that, and we can do that together. Thank you for being with us this morning on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.